Well, welcome everyone to tonight's free talk with Janine Roth, Going Gently Through the Holidays, and happy holidays to you. Tonight, Janine will be exploring the connection between eating and being happy during the holidays, a time that for most of us is usually filled with a mix of joy and stress, and of course, food. So thank you all for the compelling questions that you've sent in over the past few days, and Janine will address as many of those as possible tonight on the call. Janine will be with us at the top of the hour, and while we're waiting, I thought I'd talk to you about a few opportunities to be with Janine in person coming up shortly. The main one is her only West Coast workshop of 2017. It's called Ending Obsession, and during this fabulous 2 days with Janine, she'll be teaching ways of ending obsession and the absolute freedom and joy that comes with that. So it's March 17th and 18th. It's in the San Francisco area at the Pullman Hotel in Redwood City, California. That's quite close to the San Francisco airport. The end of this month, December 31st, is the discounted early bird rate is ending, so don't wait. I would say if you're interested in being with Janine for that wonderful 2-day workshop, jump on it right now and let me tell you how you do that. You can find secure online registration at JanineRoth.com. That's JanineRoth.com. Or if you prefer to register by phone, call our retreat manager, Judy, at 703-401-0871. Let me give you that number again. It's 703-401-0871. Judy is always happy to answer your questions and to take your registration over the phone. Feel free to call her if you have any questions at all. Janine also teaches a retreat twice a year, and you've probably read about those treats in women retreats. They are treats, actually, in Women, Food, and God. They're offered only twice a year, one in the spring and one in the fall, and it's 6 days of immersion in Janine's program and her philosophy with loving support and exquisite consciousness about food and close personal attention from Janine. So the spring retreat this year is going to be May 23rd to 28th, 2017, also in California at the Mount Madonna Center in Watsonville, California. As always, Janine's retreats fill up quickly. You can register online, again, at JanineRoth.com, and you'll find all the information you need there about tuition, room options, travel suggestions, how to get there. And again, Judy's happy to take your registration by phone and answer any of your questions. And her number, again, is 703-401-0871. Now, if you can't be physically with Janine in person this year, the next best thing are her two amazing online courses. Each of them has 8 90-minute recorded audios in each course as Janine takes you through her program step by step. There are downloadable summaries of each of the sections that you can use as a workbook. You get lifetime access to listening to these as many times as you want, either streaming online or downloaded to your iPod or any other device for replay at your convenience. Again, you can find secure registration online at JanineRoth.com. Do you think www.JanineRoth.com is a good place to go? Yes, it is, because you can check out so many things there to support you on your journey, like how to join Janine's email list and receive her free e-newsletters with articles and updates on all her upcoming retreats and workshops and audios and the free calls like the one tonight. You can also see her selection of CDs or downloadable MP3 audios of Janine's talks, many of which have been recorded at her retreats. Many, many articles at JanineRoth.com written by and about Janine, and just so much more. It's a very lovely, rich website. After the call tonight, I hope you'll join us on Facebook and join so many of your fellow students who engage in such a lively dialogue. Janine herself is often on Facebook. That is www.facebook.com/JanineRoth. Every week, Janine posts new teachings and insights and inspirational thoughts, and of course, you're invited to share in the dialogue with your comments. So I'd encourage you, after the call tonight, go join Janine on www.facebook.com/JanineRoth. Janine will be with us at the top of the hour, and happy holidays to you.
Hello, everybody. It is the top of the hour. Here we are. Welcome to our holiday call. Or really welcome to our going gently through the holidays call. So glad you can join us. Join me. Join the community of people that are here with us. We're in the middle of quite a large storm here in the Bay Area. Our electricity goes on and off, flickers on and off, and there are floods around us. So just know that if I get cut off, I will call back on my cell phone. In the meantime, hello. I'm glad for the light. I'm glad for the warmth. And, of course, holidays in there, the best of it, are all about bringing light here to the darkest time of year. So start off, let's take 2 or 3 minutes of breathing and letting yourself arrive. And when I say letting yourself arrive, it means becoming aware of your surroundings, looking around the room that you're sitting in. Noticing an object in the room that you might not have really seen for a while, even though you've looked at it 1,000 or more times. Zen teachers call this beginner's mind, just looking with new eyes. And then feeling the earth, your feet on the floor, the earth supporting you, the point of contact your feet are making with the ground or the carpet, underneath which is the earth. Noticing which points of contact your body makes with the surface it's sitting on or standing on. Arriving, putting yourself, and it really means just attending to what's already here, because you are already here, but most of the time our minds are off floating somewhere else, so we feel like we're actually not here. We've missed what's going on. But allowing yourself to arrive here gives you a sense of presence and a place from which you can really hear what's being said, whether it's me or anybody else, what's being felt, what's being sensed. And always the quickest way to arrive is through the senses. Through the sounds you're hearing, through the sights you're seeing, through the things you're touching, when you're eating, through the actual taste of food in your mouth. Really letting yourself arrive and becoming aware of one full breath all the way up and all the way up, up, up through your belly, your heart, your throat, out the top of your head and back down again through that channel of your body. So I'm going to talk a while now, a little bit now, about the holidays and about this time of year in general, which is so filled with expectations. It's a charged time of year because of the images that we see, because of the dreams we have or had, maybe because of holidays past, memories of those, or the expectation of holidays in the future. Holidays seem to form a discrete unit, and by that I mean these few weeks after Thanksgiving, before New Year's, till January 1st or 2nd, they are set apart in our minds. And that's the first thing to actually pay attention to. The fact that we have so many images, dreams, expectations, and interpretations of holidays. Quite a few of you wrote to me and mentioned that you were alone during the holidays and you didn't like it and you felt lonely and everyone around you seemed to be with their families and belonging. And yet, on the other hand, quite a few of you wrote about what it was like or what it is like to be with your families and how difficult it is and how stressed it is and how dysfunctional, which is the word that quite a few of you used, it feels to be with your family. So on the one hand, some of you are alone and feel lonely and you don't want that and you're imagining that everybody who isn't lonely is having a loving, warm, around the fire, glowing time. And those of you who are with your families are somewhat at a loss about what to do about what happens when you're with your family, the stress, the fighting, the anger, the way you feel when you're with your family, and what to do about that. So the first thing I want to say is to understand that there, if you're alone, you're imagining what it's like to not be alone, and if you're with a family, you're just sort of crawling with stress because of all the buttons that get pushed. So it's our interpretations when you're alone, when we are alone, it's our fantasies of what's happening to people who are with their families that are really creating the suffering. It's what we believe we could have or should have or want to have, and the distance between what we do have and what we believe we should have, or the distance between what we do have and what we imagine the people with happy families have. It's good to notice that that is not true, that people in their families are not necessarily having a good time, that just because a person is surrounded by people doesn't mean they're happy. Also, there's no necessity to feel desperate when you are alone. It, because the holidays are so charged, because of the fantasies and images and commercials and glowy photographs that we see everywhere and Christmas songs that are playing everywhere we go, we internalize all of this and we come up with a scenario that for the most part makes us very unhappy. So what I want to say is look at your expectations. Look at your interpretations. Look at what you're telling yourself. If you're alone, what you're telling yourself about people who have families. And if you're in a family, and this is a little bit different now, look at, be curious about, acknowledge your expectations of what being in your family should or could feel like. The thing is that if your Aunt Dora has come to Christmas dinner consistently drunk, she's probably going to come drunk this year. If your Uncle Harry only talks about himself and is not at all interested in you, and that's been true for many years, he's not going to be interested in you this year either. If you go into a family gathering expecting that any one of your family members is going to have changed, that it's going to be different because they will have changed, you're going to be so disappointed. If your well-being during the holidays depends on other people out there treating you, and I'm not talking about, this is up to a certain point, of course, because I'm not talking about being abusive. I'm talking about the regular familial dysfunction that so many of you wrote about, that nobody listens to you, that people are shouting over each other, that people are judging other people, that. If your well-being depends on a family dynamic that is ages old, changing, then you're going to be disappointed, you're going to suffer. The question is what you can do in that family gathering, which again, many of you asked, what can you do given that that's true and given that that's stressful? So whether you're alone during the holidays or in with your family during the holidays, the most important thing is caring for yourself. The most important thing is being kind to yourself, making room for yourself. Now, that's going to mean different things in different situations. If you know you're going to a family gathering where it's highly charged, where food becomes an issue, where you end up overeating, then you need to discern how you can best take care of yourself before you get there. In the hours and the days leading up to that, I was interviewed recently by Real Simple magazine, and the title of their interview or the piece they were running was How Not to Hate Yourself During the Holidays. And when they asked me that, how would you suggest somebody not hate themselves during the holidays? My first response was to not go into the holidays hating themselves, to start before the holidays. And although at this point right here, right now, December, I think it's the 15th, we're sort of in the middle, we're in the swing of it, it's never too late. It's never too late to be kind to yourself, to ask yourself what you really need, what you really want in a particular situation, to scoop up, metaphorically, the part of you that's scared, anxious, suffering, lonely, sad, to be there for yourself. Now, a lot of people don't like it when I say this. They just don't. Many of us feel like we already paid, people already weren't there for us, and now we need somebody else to be here. We need somebody else to do it. We deserve that. We're owed that. Yeah. That would be lovely. And unfortunately, when at this point in our lives, when we feel that way, it's possible that somebody can be there for a moment or an evening. But in the end, it's us being with us. It's us showing up for ourselves. It's us who wake up alone. No matter the amount of people you're around, we wake up in the middle of the night alone. We go to sleep finally alone, even if we're sleeping next to spouses or children. We wake up like that. We're living in our own bodies, in our own minds. How do you make friends with that? This is not just a holiday question. This is a life question, a living question. One thing that I would recommend that we teach at the retreats is breathing all the way through your body, starting at your feet. Try it now. Breathing up through your feet and also down through the top of your head and seeing yourself creating an energy bubble so that you are luxuriating or at least inhabiting your own energy. It's very much easier to be yourself when you're sitting in your own energy. So imagine an egg-shaped, clear bubble on each side of you, up over your head, down below your toes, and all around you, 360 degrees. And fill that energy bubble out with your energy, that you can feel yourself. So often when we're focused on other people, particularly during the holidays, we lose track of our sweet selves, of what we need, of what we want, of the rest we need, the contact we need, the alone time we need, the food we need. So, without a doubt, the most important thing, at least in my mind, is to keep coming back to yourself. Have a way to come back to yourself. Whether it's leaving a holiday dinner and getting up and going to the bathroom, walking outside, whether you're at a party or not, at work, during any old time, not just during the holidays, if you're sitting home alone, if you're living alone and you don't have anybody to spend the holidays with, it's still the same return. It's still the same need to return home to yourself. Because when you're in yourself and alone, it's very sweet. But when you're making up stories of what it would be like if you weren't alone, you're out of yourself. And you're making yourself miserable. Know that the holidays are like a landmine of emotions. And so also know that it's entirely normal, so to speak, understandable to have these fantasies, images, interpretations, feelings coming up. So you're not alone, and it's really good to know that even if you're living alone, you're not alone. A lot of us are feeling some version of, I don't really feel a part of this, or this isn't what I thought it would be or hoped it would be. Switching back to when you're with your family and it's stressful, as I talked about before, in not expecting anybody there to be any different than they are, a big burden is taken off of you. Yes, of them, but of you, because you're not comparing who they should be with who they are, and in that gap, suffering. If the talk at the table, well, first of all, always know, of course, that you have a choice. Doesn't seem like it, but you do. You have a choice about not going. That's a difficult choice to make for so many of us. And for me, it's a difficult choice to make in regards to this conversation because you don't give yourself the chance to go and take care of yourself, to go and feel like, yes, I can be here, they can be who they are, but I can also not engage. And so that's the next part of this. You don't need to engage to be in a fight with what should be happening and who they are. That's the point at which it's good to get up. Take a break. Walk outside. Breathe. I talk a lot about taking in the good in the work I do and that we do at retreats and workshops. And this is where it comes in. This is the last practice that I want to talk about. There's the expectations and releasing yourself of those. There's the self-care practice and figuring out what that is for you and making sure you do that every day. I didn't elaborate on that, but making sure you figure out what that is every day. And even if it requires 5 times a day for 5 minutes, you do that. Maybe it is just walking outside. Maybe it's calling a friend, a pre-arranged time every day, or at night during the holidays, or when you're with your family during the holidays. Figuring out what would satisfy you, nourish you, connect you, and making sure you do that. And the third thing that I just talked about, the third practice, is taking in the good. Another name for that practice is appreciation, appreciating what you do have. Gratitude is another name for that. There are many names for this, but what it basically means, and you can do this for a second right now, for 30 seconds, make a mental list of what's right in your life right now. Or what isn't wrong. You could start with saying, I'm breathing. I didn't die today. That's something to be grateful for. I took a hot shower today. Hot water. I ate an apple today. It tasted good. Very, very simple things. The smell of my child's neck. The fact that I'm still here. I'm listening to this. I want to know myself, whatever it is. The smell of lavender. The hum of a refrigerator. Take those things in because, as the neuroscientists tell us, when we focus on anything intensely and consistently, frequently, it changes the circuitry of our brain. Our brains can change. So that after a while, we begin seeing what's good before we see what's wrong. But this is a practice, again, whether it's during the holidays or not, that is something that's a joy to do when you wake up in the morning. What's not wrong? And suddenly your mind gets switched from what is wrong to a sense of benevolence or goodness and gratitude, and that's felt in the heart. So in this moment, for instance, on my list, I'm grateful that the lights came back on. I'm grateful for electricity. I'm grateful for the rain. We've really needed it. I'm grateful to all of you who are here with me, even though we're not having live conversation in this moment. So many of you wrote, I appreciate that. I can feel your hearts. Anytime I can feel my own heart and somebody else's heart, I'm so grateful for that, for feeling anything at all. For the color red. I'm grateful for that. It isn't wrong. That's what's not wrong. The final thing I want to say is about food itself. And that is that this is just a practical thing that you can do, an action you can take. If you know that at a gathering, there's usually a charged atmosphere and you turn to food, one thing you can do is eat a little bit before you go. Eat food you really, or your body really wants before you go, so you don't walk in to a stressful gathering ravenous. That's a setup for so many of us. Not being ravenous and being only a little hungry. So there's a hunger scale that I use all the time. One's really hungry, five is comfortable, 10 is stuffed. If you're entering into a highly stressful eating event, I would recommend eating till about 3.5 or 4 on the hunger scale. So that in that stress, hunger is not added to it and you don't turn to food. You don't begin vacuuming up what's on the table to numb the stress. Because you're also hungry. So the combination of family charged atmosphere or any stressful situation plus hunger, family stress where you leave yourself plus hunger where you're really hungry and the hungrier you get, the more desperate you get, that is a very tough combination right there. So take care of yourself, and that could be one of the ways you do it. By taking care of yourself with food, surrounding yourself at this time of year with foods that truly, truly nourish your body so that you feel grounded in your body. Grounded. Nourished. And deserving of that. Deserving of that. Take care of your sweet self. Take care every day. Do something, at least one thing, acting on your own behalf. Enjoy the lights of the holidays, the beauty, the twinkle lights, the fact that people do it just because. The twinkling. It's there. Let yourself take it in. It, too, is a kind of food. So thank you, everybody, for joining me tonight. I send you much love. And if you'd like to join me on Facebook right after the call, that would be great. Have a wonderful, blessed, nourishing self-kindness next few weeks. Go gently with yourself. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. If you loved your time with Janine on this call, you'll truly love spending 2 days with her at her upcoming intensive workshop, March 17th and 18th. Don't miss this. This is Janine's only West Coast workshop in 2017, and it's a spectacular event. You can find information and secure registration online at JanineRoth.com. That's JanineRoth.com. Want to register by phone? Call our retreat manager, Judy, at 703-401-0871. 703-401-0871. And the early bird discount rates are still available for their workshop. That's the best deal of all. And those are going to be end on December 31st. So now would be a great time to call Judy or just go on www.JanineRoth.com. Take the leap and join Janine in March for this fabulous intensive weekend. It's going to be spectacular, and you will not regret it. Thank you again for joining us tonight.